You're listening to the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14 is where Pastor Sandy will begin today on this edition of Sandy Adams Radio.
Well, the wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has a refuge in his death. For a righteous man, death is the final victory. Verse 33, wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding, but what is in the heart of fools is made known. Now, verse 34 applies to every nation, including the United States of America. We're told righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You know, here's an explanation for America's past prosperity. God has exalted us because we've stood for things that are right and just and biblical and godly. But this can also be an explanation for our future impoverishment. If we neglect what's righteous, if we turn away from things that are good and godly, sin is a reproach to any people. Well, the king's favor is toward a wise servant. King's favor is toward a wise servant. If you're wise, if you work hard, if you show up on time, if you do a good job, you see, a wise servant is never out of a job for long because he has the king's favor. But his wrath is against him who causes shame. Chapter 15 begins. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Once we had an old cat that would go next door and sleep on the hood of our neighbor's new pickup truck. And one morning when he saw paw prints on the hood of his truck, he came over to the edge of the property and started yelling at Kathy and the kids. Well, they told me about it, and so that night he and I had to have a little talk. And I knew, as mad as he was, if I had an angry tone, if I went over there with stern words, it was going to end up in a fisticuffs. And so I went over there. I was just as polite and nice as I could possibly be. And you know, I was totally amazed at the guy's reaction. I mean, he ended our conversation by telling me, "Man, that's okay. I think I need to buy a tarp for my new pickup truck anyway." It was amazing how a soft answer turned away wrath. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 26, when that scoundrel, that old obnoxious coot named Nabal. You remember the story, how Nabal infuriated David with his rudeness. But that was when Nabal's wife, Abigail, she went to David with kindness, and she diffused David's anger with soft words. Her gentle answer saved her husband from a beatdown by approaching David with soft words. And it's powerful how we can diffuse people's anger with soft words. It's been said, diplomacy is the art of telling your friend he has an open mind instead of a hole in the head. How you say, what you say, can make a huge difference. A soft word turns away wrath. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. The other day we went to the Braves game, and you know, they've gotten to the point now where in between innings, all they do is they just show people in the stands, you know, embarrassing shots. That happened to me one time. I was actually kind of standing there picking my nose like this, you know, and all of a sudden I looked up and I was on the Matrix board in front of 50,000 people. And you know, I've created kind of a paranoia now. I'm at the Braves game, I'm in between innings, and the only thing I can think about is, don't put me up there, you know. Are they watching? Where's the camera? The whole time I was at the game, that was what I was thinking. Hey, here we're told, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. You know, you are being watched. Not by the camera, but you are being watched. You're being shown on the Matrix board in heaven at all times. The eyes of the Lord are keeping watch on the evil and the good. God is omnipresent. He is in all places at all times. I'll never forget the couple who came to me for marriage counseling. And the first thing the guy said is you can't let God know what we're talking about. He said that. Yeah, he did. Hey, I'm telling you, nothing happens in your life that God doesn't see and that God doesn't hear. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Harsh, hateful words can do extreme damage to the human spirit. Sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never harm you. That's not true. Words can break the spirit, Proverbs tells us. He says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. It's been said, a wise man desires no more than he can get justly, use soberly, distribute cheerfully, and leave contently. Whereas give a wicked man a little money and it destroys him. Yeah, have you ever read those articles of how people's lives were destroyed once they won the lottery? It does terrible things to someone. That's why he says here, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. Verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. You know, wicked people will try to buy God's favor with their sacrifices. They'll do religious deeds to cover up their sin and try to win God over. Hey, God is never fooled by a fool. Remember, a religious deed is never a substitute for a repentant heart. We're told the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. Do you do what's right? Do you love what's right? If you do, God will love you. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. Tough on crime is a godly policy. Verse 11, hail and destruction are before the Lord, so how much more the hearts of the sons of men. In other words, if God can peer into the pit of hell, don't think for a moment he can't see into your innermost thoughts. A scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. Hey, a fool runs from rebuke. You know, if you've got something to talk to him about, if you want to try to help him and he avoids you, I mean, that's showing his foolishness. A fool doesn't want to be corrected. A wise man will seek correction. Verse 13, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. I like that. You know, your life can be a party or it can be a funeral. It's really all about your attitude. Verse 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. He's saying, I'd rather eat beans and salad in a home full of happiness than T-bone steaks in a home full of friction and fighting. A 1,200 square foot house with peace is far better than a 4,000 square foot prison. That's what he's saying. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allies contention. This word allies means to take the edge off. You know, the person who's slow to wrath, he takes the edge off an argument. He kind of brings about a moderation. He settles things down. Slow to anger. The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. The man who habitually does what's right gets somewhere. His life is like a highway. Verse 20, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. But a man of understanding walks uprightly. Now, without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Good counsel is extremely valuable. It's a safeguard. Now, don't let somebody else try to tell you God's will for your life. That's not what he's saying. Only when it gets right down to it, only you can know what God is saying to you. But good counsel can be a check. It can raise a red flag. It can help you make sure that you're on the right track. It can remind you of scripture that you may have forgotten. You know, it's been said, a wise man seeks much counsel. A fool listens to it all. Verse 23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth and a word spoken in due season. How good it is. Boy, the right word at the right time is powerful, isn't it? You've been down, been depressed. And somebody came along and gave you an encouraging word. How powerful that is. The way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below. God's wisdom creates this upward, heaven-bound trajectory for our lives. God's word just sets us in an upward course. Pride, though, is a sure ticket to destruction. He says, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the boundary of the widow. Now, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. The man who conducts business under the table ends up having trouble around his table. Apparently his kids witness his hypocrisy and they rebel against him. Verse 28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. In short, think before you talk. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the good, and a good report makes the bones healthy. We all need some good news from time to time, don't we? The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Remember that. Before honor is humility. Chapter 16, verse 1. Preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Preparation of the heart belongs to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. In Mark 13, verse 11, Jesus told his disciples, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given to you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. In other words, he's saying the Holy Spirit will give you the words. And here Solomon is making us the same promise. We need to prepare. You know, the pastor needs to prepare a sermon. Don't just get up and say, well, I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit speak this morning. No, it was because you watched the ball game the day before. Man, get to work. Prepare something. You know, you got a test coming up. Well, God will give me the answers. No, you better study beforehand. Spend some time studying for that test. We need to prepare. But when pressed to speak under unexpected or on difficult circumstances, we're told the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. We can count on the Holy Spirit to give us the right words at just the right time, to tell us what to say when it was impossible for us to prepare for that moment. The Holy Spirit will come. And he'll give us the answer that we need. Verse 2, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. In other words, my estimation of myself, your estimation of yourself is worthless. It doesn't matter one iota what I think of myself. All that matters is God's estimation of me. God weighs the spirit. How God sees me is how I need to see myself. And real repentance begins when I'm willing to see myself through God's eyes. That's the start of real repentance. That's the start of the redemption and the restoration that God wants to work in our lives. When I can see myself as God sees me, not as I want to see me. Verse 3, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Notice this, commit your works, do the right thing, and then the feelings will follow. Don't wait until you feel like obeying God to obey him. If you wait until you feel like praying to pray, you'll never pray. If you wait until you feel like tithing to tithe, you'll never tithe. If you feel like you need to wait until you feel like witnessing to witness, you'll never witness. You'll wait forever. This is why he says, commit your works to God, and then the feelings will follow. We're told the Lord has made all for himself. Yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. You know, the believer praises God by embracing his salvation, but the wicked also praise God. They praise his judgment. They provide God an opportunity to demonstrate his justice. And that in turn praises God. It praises him for his justice and his righteousness. Read Romans 9 through 11 for a fuller commentary here on verse 4. Even the day of doom brings glory to God. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. Only fools gang up against God. Have you noticed, though, there's some groups where the only thing that'll get them together is their common hatred for God or for his church. Verse 6, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's interesting. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. Verse 9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. As the old saying goes, man proposes, but God disposes. You know, man makes his plans, but the providence of God ultimately prevails. This is why we need to be firm in our faith, but flexible with our plans. Verse 10, divination is on the lips of the king. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. The king is supposed to speak for God, but oftentimes only superstition and curses are on his lips, and God will judge him. We're told honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. In ancient Israel, buying and selling were done on a set of scales. And thus an honest businessman calibrated his scales accurately. A crooked businessman used, you know, unbalanced scales. Verse 12, it is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established by righteousness. At least the king should be honest. He says, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. As messengers of death is the king's wrath, but a wise man will appease it. You know, a candidate will get a lot of votes just by being honest. People want the king. People want the senator, people want the representative, the president, to be honest. The government's job is to use force if necessary to maintain order, and only a fool will deliberately defy this authority. We're told, verse 15, in the light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. How much better to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Underline verse 18. The man who boasts ends up toast. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. What a great verse. Verse 21, the wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increases learning. Now here is the value of a good teacher. He takes the truth, but he mixes it in with sweetness. He kind of spices it up. He makes it sweet so it goes down easier. You see, it's a pastor's job not just to hand out bland information, but to teach the truth in an appealing way. It's the sweetness of the lips that increases learning. Often how it's said is important as what gets said. You know, I've heard it put this way. A mediocre teacher tells. A good teacher explains. A superior teacher demonstrates. A great teacher inspires. This is why when I teach, I throw in some quotes, some illustrations, some hilarious jokes. I throw all this in, you know, to create a sweetness. It's the sweetness there that makes the truth go down easier. Sweetness of the lips increases learning. I like that. Verse 22, understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Wow, well-chosen words carry great impact. They can impart health and wisdom. Verse 25 is actually chapter 14, verse 12, verbatim. It's repeated here to stress its importance. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Again, what makes sense to me, what appears logical or rational from my perspective, may not be truth. Here's what's happened. Sin has warped the lens through which we see life. As Paul put it, now we see in a mirror dimly. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says it this way. God speaks, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. And this is why folks will reject biblical truths, doctrines like the Trinity or the deity of Jesus or miracles. Not because they aren't taught in the Bible, but because they don't make sense to them logically or rationally. This is why the source of our doctrine needs to be God's revelation, not our reason. You know, there's things that we may not understand, that we may not grasp, but they're still true. God has spoken them. God has a logic greater than our own. He has a reason that supersedes us. Again, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, verse 26 tells us, the person who labors, labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him on. It's amazing what you'll do if you get hungry enough. Yeah, that's what it's saying. Notice verses 27 and 28. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisper separates the best of friends. Some people love to dig up gossip on other people. They get a little bit of gossip. They get a little tidbit on somebody else, and it's like a burning fire on their lips. They just can't wait to get it off, to tell it to somebody. Some people are like that. Once there was a mischievous husband who looked out the window at his next-door neighbor and he remarked to his wife, he said, oh my, look at Beverly over there. She's in her car kissing some man. Well, immediately the wife raced to the window. She looked through the blind. She peeked out the window. She sort of turned back to her husband and she shouted, that's not funny. It's just her husband. You know, some people are only looking for something to talk about. Charles Swindoll says that when a person calls him and comments, did you hear about so-and-so? He immediately asks, can I quote you on this? And if the answer is no, he refuses to listen. It's a good tactic. Verse 29 tells us, a violent man entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. He winks his eye to devise perverse things. He pursues his lips and brings about evil. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. Boy, gray hair is a crown of glory. Hey, a sign of old age is honorable, provided that the head belongs to somebody who's walked with God.
Thanks for joining us today on Sandy Adams Radio with our pastor and teacher, Sandy Adams. Pastor Sandy is continuing in the book of Proverbs. Pastor Sandy is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia, where he brings you messages from the Bible, book by book and verse by verse. We know that life can be challenging. That's why we want you to know that you don't have to go through it alone. If you have questions about Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain, or if you are in need of prayer, please call us. Our phone number is 770-736-2828. Again, that's 770-736-2828. We would love to hear from you. The book of Proverbs doesn't leave you wondering what it's all about. Early in the first chapter, Solomon writes, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." It's clear that we should learn as much as possible from God's Word. To understand more about this radio ministry, head over to sandyadams.org. While you're there, check out Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain under the About tab. We invite you to join us this Sunday. We have services at 9:15 and 11:15 a.m. More details can be found online at sandyadams.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but we'll catch up with you next time on Sandy Adams Radio.